sun set hours ago. You're confused, bewildered, maybe even scared. How can things have possibly turned like this? You've been following for some time now, but only from a distance. Just a short time ago, you and your closest friends of some 3 years were eating the Passover meal. And you were doing that with one of your closest friends, Jesus. But you also remember while you were there in the upper room, you were kind of reprimanded by Jesus for hesitating when he bent down to wash your feet. This is all in your mind. This evening has turned very different from what you had seen in your mind is playing out. Instead of setting up an earthly kingdom with Jesus as the head and you and the rest of the apostles having some position of authority or prominence, you are now following a crowd from the distance, and you can see, but you don't want to be close enough to be considered part of that crowd who now has your leader in custody. And you and the others are scattered as sheep without a shepherd. The night air is cool, so you stop and you along the way and you warm yourself by a fire. While you're there, you hear a young lady ask if you were one of his followers. You immediately tell her that you did not know him. How can this be? Of course you know him. You were one of the first to answer the call. You're one of the first to follow him. You know the answer is a lie, but you can't believe you hear yourself saying it anyway. Maybe you were thinking that, well, he's already arrested, and how can I help him if I'm arrested too? You continue warming yourself there, and still another person kind of recognizes you and asks you a second time, are you one of them? And again, you still hear yourself telling this man you were not a follower of his. Still, the words come out of your mouth, you can hardly believe it. This time, your answer was a little quicker and without hesitation. No, I am not. And again, the truth, you know the truth. If anyone should have been the first to stand up for this man, it should have been you. You may start to remember one of the first times you met Jesus. It was after a hard night of fishing. You caught nothing. And this man, Jesus, asked you to cast again, only this time on the other side of the boat. And at his command, you did it, and the fish you caught were so large that you thought your nets were going to break. But you held firm. The thoughts are racing in your head now. How is this going to establish the kingdom by allowing yourself and himself to be arrested now? Another hour passes. And still you're asked again, this time accusing you that you were a follower of this man. And by this time you had heard yourself blurting out, "No, I never knew him." And you look through the crowd, past all the other faces, past all those gathered by the fire, past the guards who were assisting and now not only questioning but probably beating him at this time. They're putting him on trial, and you look past all of them and you see Jesus. Your eyes meet and you look, and the look that Jesus gave you pierced through to your soul. Like a two-edged sword, piercing, as it were, even to the heart and soul of the matter. You'd not seen this look before, but when your eyes met at this look, that shook you deeply. You immediately heard the rooster crow, and you remember the words that Jesus said, that you would deny him, and you can't believe, of all the people, that you would be the one to deny him when all he's ever done was show compassion to you. That look from Jesus has now affected you so deeply that all you could do was to leave and weep bitterly. Even though by now you understand we're talking about Simon Peter, but put yourself beside that fire that night. You and I may have done the same thing. You and I may be, we're now the watchers from a distance. It was you who were doing the denying. It was you who, even though you knew in your heart you knew him, that when asked, you knew if you knew this man, you could hear yourself say no. But the look that Peter saw and the look that we can see now as we look on Jesus is not one of disappointment, not the look of despair or rejection, but the same look that you once saw in him when you answered the call to follow him. It was a look of compassion, of hope, of forgiveness. As you gather here, not in a dark night huddled around a fire when all seem lost, we gather here by invitation to his table. We don't just get here by accident. It was by the leading of the Holy Spirit you come to dine today with the one who gave his life for you. Instead of looking at the fire, we look to the cross. It has now become the center of our attention. The man that you denied has freely allowed himself to be arrested, put on trial, beaten, and scourged, led away to the cross to be crucified, and in yours and my place, as we look forward and towards him, let's see what Peter saw, the compassion, the hope, the forgiveness in Jesus' eyes. The good thing is Peter may have denied him that night, but after what he saw in Jesus, it changed his life. This is the time that we gather today around here to commit our lives more freely to him this week and look on that compassion that he's given for us. Dear Father in heaven, we come today, Lord, and as we put ourselves around that fire, Lord, and knowing that we could easily say no as well, but as we look to you, as we look to the cross, as we look to your Son, we just praise you and thank you for this time of remembrance, this time of these emblems that we partake of at this time, to remember your pure blood and precious body that was beaten and torn apart and spilled on our behalf, Lord. It's because of the cross that we can have this time now, and it's because of the cross that we can share this time together and just recommit our lives to you for this week, this time that we have, to just love you more. For your Son's name we pray. Amen.